So around here, we have a saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. How many of you guys have heard that, right? We say it often. Pastor Rick, I think he usually claims that as his own. And I looked it up, so I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's a liar. And he was, right? It's like actually attributed to like an African proverb. Been around so long that nobody really knows where it came from. But the weight of it, right, the truth behind it is still very important, right? If you want to go fast, I always liken this to my own life, right? I remember going alone, and I went fast, to one thing, to another thing, to another thing, so fast, in fact, that I just left a trail of destruction behind me, and I never made it very far. It was like my life always failed to start, and coming into my 30s, I was just behind in every regard, in life, finances, relationship, all of these things were so broken, and I hadn't really made it anywhere throughout all of this life that I'd lived, and then I began to do something differently, right? I began to journey with people. I'd never had close friends. I'd never really had people, but just maybe one or two that I really journeyed with. And the ones that I did, they weren't healthy either, right? We were all creating dumpster fires in our lives. But when I began to do things differently, everything began to change, and I began to understand what it meant to go far. It wasn't like I had some type of wild success or something, right? Because that's not what it's about. It's just the depth of my relationships changed. And I'm not talking about just, romantic, but friendships. The amount changed. My circle increased. And I found that there's a whole host of wonderful people that we get to journey with and do life and go far together, side by side. And such a beautiful thing. So if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so tonight, we're going to start a three-part series. And we're going to talk about going together. We're going to talk about relationships, not romantic relationships, but we're going to identify and focus on three relationships that everybody should have. The first being Paul, the mentor, the second being Barnabas, the encourager, and the last being Timothy, right? The one that we pour into, the student. I want to throw this out there from the get-go. You know, sometimes I can be really aggressive and high energy. It's unlikely that much of this series will be that way, right? It's more or less me wanting to have a conversation about what's important and to talk to you in a very real way about the people that we allow in our lives and who we journey with. And so I don't anticipate getting too crazy, but you just never know how caffeinated I'll be and things like that. Tonight's message is titled this, Walking with Paul. And so what I want to talk about is the Pauls in our lives. And that is plural because I'm a firm believer that we should have multiple people that fulfill this role, right? We want to have multiple people that step into this mentor type of relationship, people that we lean into, that we trust, that we allow to tell us things and speak life over us. So we're going to talk about walking with Paul and the importance of having a mentor relationship. Now, biblically speaking, Paul, we've talked about him. He did great things, right? He started all of these churches. He wrote like 2/3 of our New Testament. God used him in a mighty way to reach the Gentiles. And he grew this platform that was just tremendous. And he had so much entrance into all of these different communities. It was amazing. And in the Bible, there's a relationship that stands out among Paul's relationships, and it's one with Timothy. And if you haven't been around church, but maybe a little bit, you're probably kind of familiar with that because there's two books of our Bible named of Timothy, right? We have 1st and 2nd Timothy. You may not know this, but those were written by Paul directly to Timothy. Timothy had went to Ephesus. There were some issues going on in the church there, right? The Ephesian church. And Paul trusted Timothy so much after they had journeyed together for so long. Paul sent him there to correct false teaching and false doctrine and to kind of change the culture of what was taking place. And so that's why we have 1st and 2nd Timothy. And so this relationship, Paul was Timothy's mentor. Timothy, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks, was a student of Paul's, right? He trusted him. Paul is described as his spiritual father and Timothy as his spiritual son. What a beautiful companionship they had. And so very significant in what they did and what they went through. And so this relationship between Paul and Timothy is a great example of what Christian mentorship looks like. Both Timothy and Paul, they had to have the right attitudes, right? I don't know if you've ever tried to tell somebody something, but many times, oftentimes, you encounter a kind of a dismissal, right, and rebellion in people when you try to address anything that they don't want to hear. And it's an automatic rejection. And so they had to have this right attitude leaning into it. They had to be willing to trust each other and to hear things, even if they disagreed with it in the beginning. And so Paul and Timothy are a great example of what this looked like. Timothy had to be humble and teachable. Humility is a hard thing to do, especially if we're going to go find our Paul or our Pauls, right? We have to operate in a place of humility, and that's hard. I know it's been hard for me in every season of life to humble myself to people around me because my brokenness, like the broken version of Aaron that's not very healthy, thinks that he knows everything and that nobody can tell him anything, right? I battle with that. I'm sure none of you guys do, but that's my unhealthy version of me, right? I reject anything anybody has to say at face value because I know better. If I didn't know better, I wouldn't have done it in the first place, right? Just me? Just me, nobody? They had to operate in this type of humility, had to be teachable. Timothy, though, he became a pillar in the early church due to Paul's investment in his life when he was still young. You know, it's amazing to me. You can tell a lot about somebody by the length of the relationships in their life. What I mean by that is if you know somebody today and all of their relationships are relatively new, they'd probably deal with some wildly unhealthy things, right? To be fair, right? And we know those people. Often, though, those people get some type of platform or some type of entrance. And it's like, you know, there's nobody from any period of time journeying with him. That's a flag. We should look at that. But Timothy, he began to do these great things, be this pillar, because he leaned into Paul. Paul invested in him. They journeyed for a long time together. And so Paul's investment in his life when he was still young, it's why he became this pillar. Their relationship went through some phases. I want to touch on this. Three phases that their relationship went through. The first is this, parenthood. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he addressed him as my true son in the faith. This is 1 Timothy 1:2. It's not in your YouVersion. It's not up here. But that's kind of the first phase of mentorship, of trusting somebody to journey with us. And I'll tell you, as an adult, right, as somebody who's approaching middle age, it can be difficult to submit to somebody in that type of role, right? Because I'm my own man. I have a family. I'm raising kids. I'm getting ready to launch kids into the world. All of these things, right? I've had elements of success in my life. I don't need a daddy, right? That's the kind of attitude we have. And we think because we've reached a certain age that we've automatically reached a certain level of maturity in every element of life. And we no longer submit ourselves to those types of relationships. And I think that's a failure. I think we're missing it when we do that. I don't care if you're 20, 40, or 60. You need to find somebody that's in a season of life you're not in and allow them to parent you. And that sounds bad. I'm not talking baby you, right? I'm not talking that, but to have that type of love. Think about what a father is, right? They nurture their children and raise them to launch them into life and whatever it is. So in this season of life, when I allow people, and I do allow people to have that type of role in my life and that type of authority, I'm allowing them to guide and direct me towards success, to love me in a way that people don't typically love me, right? And to tell me things. I can tell my kids all sorts of things that other people can't tell them. I can discipline them. Right? We receive discipline. So it's a role that we need, no matter the season of life we're in. And so Timothy and Paul's relationship started there. Timothy was a spiritual son to Paul. Now, the important thing is they don't stay that way. So what's the next phase? I love this. And it's pace setting. Pace setting. The second phase of our ministry mentoring is pace setting, being an example of what mature ministry looks like. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he points out, you know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. And so it's somebody that begins the journey with us, right? They're no longer necessarily leading, but it's a kind of a side-by-side relationship. It's almost like the training wheels are on life with them, right? And so whatever that is, and I'm just telling you, you should have mentors in all areas. I remember when I started my business before ministry, I did signs and graphics. I found a guy that had been in the industry for 40 years. He taught me what to do. At first, I listened to everything he told me, no matter how stupid it was, no matter how out of date it was. And some of these things were wildly out of date. It's like, dude, that changed in the industry 25 years ago. But you know what? I shut my mouth and I listened to him because he'd been there, done that, and made way more money than me. And then we walked side by side. And then he let me go, right? But there was a training wheel season. After there was the parental, it was the side by side. And we do that in life. If you want a good marriage, find people with good marriages. If you want to walk out sobriety, walk with people that have been doing it longer than you that know, right? If you want healthy relationships, go to people who have healthy relationships that know and actually listen to what they say. No matter the area you want to move into, find somebody who's been there, done that. Allow them to parent you and allow them to pace set, to journey with you, to walk side by side. And the last phase they went through is this, partnering. I love this. Over in the book of Romans, there is a somewhat obscure reference that Paul makes to Timothy in chapter 16, verse 21. It says, Timothy, my fellow worker. That's interesting. It was my true son, and now it's my fellow worker. Sends you his greetings. Timothy has gone from being son to student to now colleague and co-laborer. That's a healthy progression of healthy relationships. And oftentimes, we want to go right to the end. We just want to partner with people. I've got a great idea and I've got tons of ambition. Let's just get stuff done. No. Go through the process. It's there for a reason. It brings out maturity. There's so many things between parenting and partnering that we have to learn that we miss when we rush it. Lean into these things. So that's the three phases. How does this play out? First is presence over time. Paul wrote 13 epistles. That's 13 letters, right? 13 books of our New Testament are attributed to Paul. This is interesting. Timothy is mentioned by name in 11 of them. He's listed as the co-author of 6. I don't think Timothy was co-authoring books of the Bible with Paul in the beginning. Not in the parenting stage. Not in the pace-setting stage. But in the partnering stage. Right? But it was these shared experiences over time that build trust. Sometimes I have people come to me and they're like, when can I get on your platform? And if you've done this, no offense, but my first thought is if I don't know you, the answer in my mind is never, no matter what I said to you verbally. Why? Because I don't know you. I don't trust you. You don't come up and just ask for things. Why? Because it's presence over time. There's a partnering. I let Adam and Mike get up here. Why? Presence over time. We spent a year together. I know some intimate things about them, right? I could burn their lives down with the secrets I know. Don't you forget it. No, right? Presence over time. We have that kind of trust, right? That was built. We've invested in each other's lives. It builds a relationship, the bond. That's what we do when we're journeying together. Presence over time. So Timothy journeyed with Paul in such a way. The second, that's presence over time. Then it's shared experiences, right? As Paul and Timothy spent time together, they accumulated shared experiences, probably floggings in their case, right? They got beat together by Roman authorities. That's not the kind of thing we're looking for around here, right? But we journeyed together. I know many of you see this Saturday. Adam and Mike, we went and jumped out of a plane, right? Because we've moved from parenting, right, to we're doing shared experiences, right? It's this transition. I wouldn't have trusted him a year ago to go get an airplane with, right? That's crazy. Man, he was strung out. It was nuts. Do what? That's true, yeah. We have these shared experiences. And again, we don't typically do this. We want things. We want the payoff without the work. We want the payoff without the work. But if there's places we want to go, we want to go far. I don't know about you, but I want to succeed in life. I am so set on not my name being great, but I want to change culture. Right? I want people to be impacted here in Claremore and in our region and abroad. There's these things that God's laid in my heart. And the only way that takes place is if I submit to him first and foremost, right? And it's all about him. And second, that I allow people that God's placed in my life to have a voice. That's biblical. And some people are like, I'm a disciple of Jesus. And they stop there. Well, these people in the Bible, they were discipled by disciples, right? We want to make disciples and make disciples and make disciples. That's the format that's laid out. We journey together, right? There's a unity among the church. We're a part of the body. We submit to one another. And some of us just miss all that because it's uncomfortable, because we're adults and we know better, but we don't. We want to journey together. So we've got shared experiences. And then lastly, Christian affection. There's a deep affection in Paul's description in Timothy and his letter to the Corinthians. You see it throughout 2 Timothy as well. Paul opens his letter with this greeting to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:2. And so that's what it went through, right? They had these shared experiences, and there's this deep Christian affection, this love for one another. Love is not something we verbalize. It's an action. Love shows up in the way that we treat people. Paul didn't have empty words of love. He genuinely loved Timothy. We're going to look at what some of that is and how it's played out here in just a moment. But we need people that love us. And people that love us, we have conflict with them. You got people in your life you're not fighting with, there's probably no real love there. It's superficial. I love some people in my life. We fight like it's Jerry Springer, right, babe? It gets crazy because we love each other so much. Right? Deep, meaningful relationships have love, real love. Hard things are said. There's messy seasons of heartache and brokenness. There's things that they go through. Paul and Timothy went through all of this, and it brought them to this place of this deep affection for one another. And so we need to seek this out. Again, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So we're going to look at what it means to walk with Paul. And I want to start with four examples. They're not going to be up here to kind of set the tone for my first point. There's four points today. You probably have it in your handout. Don't worry. We'll be done by 8:30. We'll be done before that. So we have four examples of Paul making statements directly to Timothy. And I love this. He starts these or ends one of them with this. This is a trustworthy saying. And so 1 Timothy 1:15, if you want to make note of that, it says this. This is a trustworthy saying. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's saying, listen, man, out of all the things that I tell you, you can really trust this one. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. 1 Timothy 4:7-9 says, don't waste time arguing over godless ideas in old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life to come. This is the trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. And the third, there should be four, but I duplicated one. It says this. This is the trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And so walking with Paul means, this is point number one, that we find someone that can provide insight and speak wisdom. Right? Paul, not only did he write two epistles to Timothy, helping to encourage him in the work, which was changing the culture in the Ephesian church, right in Ephesus, but he spoke wisdom. He gave insight to Timothy. And if we want to walk with a Paul, we need to find somebody who can speak insight into our situation and provide wisdom. That second part's real important, wisdom. Because a lot of you people are just allowing people to speak into your life and they have no business. They have no business. You'll go to divorce people for relationship advice. That's stupid. You're ignorant. Stop doing that. If they knew how to be married, they would still be married. Right? You go to messed up people, right? People that are still in addiction and ask how to get sober. Remove your head from your rear end for just a moment and find people that aren't just blowing hot air, that aren't just saying things. There's plenty of people that can talk, but provide insight in a wise way. Wisdom. We want people who have wisdom. And typically people who have wisdom are people that have been there, done that, got through it on the other side. They've been walking out their life in the right way. That's who you want. Those are your Pauls. People who provide wisdom. A godly mentor is one who will offer life counsel, give outside perspective for decisions, bring a fresh perspective, and will be a sounding board that you can bounce ideas off of. Very important. I know Rick is one of the people that I go to with our marriage, right? I can trust him. He's not only my pastor, he's my friend, he's my mentor, he's my boss. I mean, he has so many hats in my life. He's my spiritual father. He's all of these things. So he's a guy that I can trust in that. And I can go to him and he gives me insight and wisdom. He's been married for over 30 years. I can trust him. He's been through seasons that Janelle and I are just now walking through in our almost 7 years of marriage, right? That he's been there. You know who I'm not going to go to? Newlyweds. Why? Because they don't know. They're still in that phase where everything's great and nobody's even throwing anything in anger yet. Go to people. I don't think we've ever actually thrown anything. Somebody said I have over there. but they'll give an outside perspective. I love that. There's times that Janelle and I need to show up and for somebody to just sit outside and say, you both love each other and you're being stupid. And sometimes that helps, right? That's enough. Just an outside perspective. People that can see things that we can't see, because sometimes when it's right here, we can't see the other side. We can't. You can. And so we need people that we can trust that provide wisdom that are outside, whether it's relationships, finances, right, your job, whatever. So often, this angers me to no end. I have people that come to me, like I'm supposed to be a friend, I'm supposed to be a pastor to certain people in my life, right? They've trusted me. Some of you have trusted me with that role. And you know what? I almost don't make any major decisions. I don't make major decisions without talking to Rick. And getting counsel from at least him, and then my wife, and then I find other people. That's a crazy way to live, but you know what? It keeps me out of a lot of trouble. And I have so many people that come up to me after they've done something. Yeah, I just quit my job today. Why'd you do that? Oh, I don't know. You got another job? No. What are you doing? Like, and so if you just have a conversation before, I could have hit you and said, that's stupid, don't quit your job. Now you're unemployed. And it could be any number of things, right? People. We all can be guilty of that. We need to break that stigma and that cycle. Have Paul's, get insight and wisdom before we make decisions. Even if you're going to disagree with it and do it anyways, at least you tried. Seek Paul's. Walking with Paul means that we find somebody that can provide insight and speak wisdom. I love this, but rather than give their own wisdom, a godly mentor will continually bring you back to the Word of God. So you can have God's perspective and wisdom on your life. Even if you don't buy into the whole church thing, you can find plenty of secular studies that talk about the wisdom of the Bible and how just walking it out in your life will make everything better, even if you're not bought in. Now, I'm bought in, and I know God changes things, man, and this is God's word, right? And we can trust it, but even if that's not you, you can go find whatever Yale study you want that will support the same thing, that there's wisdom in God's word, that Christians have better marriages, they have better families, they're more happy, and that's people who don't even believe it. Now, if you believe it, and you buy into it, and you live it, and you really surrender to God, man, it levels you up beyond belief, but you want godly mentors who take you back to God's word. When you were about to do something stupid, they said, have you prayed about it? You guys ever get tired of hearing that? Yeah? How many of you actually pray about it? Yeah, we've got a lot of liars in here. That's what I think. I'm about half the time, I don't even pray for it. I want to, and I think, man, that's so stupid. I should have prayed for that. But we need people that bring us back and say, man, this is God's word. Me and my wife, we've had fights both ways where she's had to remind me of that, and I've had to remind her of that. And there's been sometimes you just got to look at each other and say, I don't care. In the end, though, you know, we're going to submit to it. Submit to each other and submit to God's word. We need godly mentors who will bring us back to that. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation fails. There's safety in having many advisors. The Amplified, which I love even more, it kind of expounds whatever word that is on this. It says, where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory. The abundance. I'm telling you. The more people speaking into your life, the better, as long as they're providing wisdom in their insight, right? Godly counsel, bring you back. Find someone that can provide insight and speak wisdom. Point number two, we'll look at this, 1 Timothy 4:6. It says this, if you explain these, this is again Paul to Timothy, if you explain these things to brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith and good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Walking with Paul means that we find someone that promotes our growth spiritually and disciples us. Paul, in this sense, he said, don't waste your time. Instead, train yourself to be godly. When's the last time somebody told you that? If nobody's told you that recently, I don't think you have a Paul. You need a Paul. You need a Paul, somebody that says this to you. Don't waste your time with that over there. Train yourself to be godly. This concept is lost. And I said it earlier, oftentimes we just stop at I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ and we don't allow any person dare hold the role of authority in our lives. It's biblical. And we don't like to talk about it. I submit to Rick. He's my spiritual father. I disagree with him often. That may surprise you. We talk in a way that would shock you to one another, because I'll tell him. This is my mind. At the end of the day, you know what I do? What my pastor advises me to, because he's been walking out life a lot longer than me, and he knows. And so we need people that promotes our growth spiritually, that they disciple us, that we submit and surrender to. They ask difficult questions so that we're forced to wrestle with the truth. Questions such as, are you growing? Are you reading and studying God's word consistently? What are you learning? Are you spending time in prayer? How are the inward attitudes and motives changing? Are you the same person you were a year ago? Are you becoming more like Christ? They ask you hard questions. Ask you hard questions. Promote your growth. They disciple you. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith you first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. Again, man, Timothy saying, don't stop. Or Paul saying to Timothy, don't stop. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep pursuing. And godly mentors, our Pauls, should do the same. 2 Timothy, as we begin to look at point number three, 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 15. It says this, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people, imposters, will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. I want to pause right there because there's like no context. Again, the 1 and 2 Timothy were written to Timothy from Paul to encourage and direct Paul or Timothy in the work of correcting the corruption in the church in Ephesus. And Paul's encouragement here, this is Paul's encouragement, is everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. Feeling encouraged yet? No, me neither, right? But was it true? It was true. And it's true. And we can find people who tickle our ears with all sorts of nonsense. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us that we're pretty and we're doing everything great. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. But we don't want to submit to Paul's who tell us hard things, right? He goes on. He says, but you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scripture from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Walking with Paul means this. We find someone who shares hard truths from a place of love. Who in here has ever sat down for counseling with me? If any kind. I know there's more. How many of you have I said things that are kind of hurtful when I talk to you? More hands went up. What is that about? And I know some of you are like, I don't know where he's going, so I'm not going to engage here. I was talking to Rick about this the other day because I tend to have that reputation of I'm direct. I don't, and this is me. I don't try to be direct to be hurtful. Really, in my mind, the most loving thing I can do is be brutally honest with you. And sometimes that's too far, and I have to go back and repent because I hurt people, and I don't want to hurt people. It's not my goal. But honestly, and you can ask my kids, My kids, man, they are equipped for life, let me tell you. Let me tell you. There's been times, they're like, Dad, how'd I do it? I'm like, you sucked. They're like, that was no effort. Like, and they're like, and some of you are like, you can't say that to your kids. Yes, you can. You can actually do that from a place of love, not to hurt them. Tell them where they win, right? I celebrate my kids. I celebrate their successes. If they went to do something and they were supposed to be prepared and they put no effort in it and they want me to pat them on the back, no. No. That ain't going to do them any favors. I ain't going to lie to them. Right? So we tell the truth out of love. We say hard things. In my family, we say hard things. Hard things. My kids can hear things that will make grown men cry. Because that's the way we are. Out of love. Because we love each other. And we all have to get to that place where we can accept hard truths. We can hear things that maybe we disagree with, but we at least have enough respect for the poll that told us that we go and chew on it a little bit. We say, man, what's the truth there? I didn't really like that, and that stung. Maybe got angry in the beginning, but go and like digest it a little bit, you know, and see. But we need those people. If we run away from everybody who tells us things we don't want to hear, you're just going to end up with a bunch of yes men. And you know what? You ain't going anywhere. You're going to fail. They're not your friends. My closest relationships, I'm telling you, we say hard things to each other. We do. Because we love each other. And walking with Paul means we find someone who shares hard truths from a place of love. I say this often, right? Love without truth is meaningless. Truth without love is just mean. We need that balance, right? And oftentimes, we just look for love, whether there's truth involved or not, and it's meaningless. Doesn't help you. Doesn't get you anywhere. It's sweet to the senses and tickles the ears, and you go on acting like an idiot, thinking that everything's great. We need people who will tell us hard things. They're willing to speak the truth we need to hear, not just the truth we want to listen to. They might get in our faces, but it's done in love and with the desire to see us grow our love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. People who will tell us hard things. We need them. Stop running away from them. You need Pauls in your life. Seek them out. I'm going to throw this out, one-time offer. If you want somebody to be brutally honest, you come make an appointment with me. I will tell you all the things you don't want to hear, okay? 2 Timothy 2:1-2 as we look at our last point here. It says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, say now. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Walking with Paul means that we find somebody who practices what they preach and helps you do the same. Seek someone who is continually growing, learning, and becoming more like Christ. Mentors aren't perfect, but they should be maturing. Somebody who practices what they preach, right? They're not just telling you, they're doing it. You can have all sorts of people in life that tell you what you should do. Look at the fruit of their lives. If it's not there, you should be friends with them. Acquaintances, don't give them entrance in your life. Don't let them speak anything into what you're doing. Look for people who practice what they preach and helps you do the same. Seek somebody continually growing, learning, and becoming more like Christ. Again, mentors aren't perfect, but they should be maturing. I want us to do this. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to spend a moment with God. And first and foremost, I want you to evaluate your relationships. Ask yourself first, do you have a Paul? Do you honestly have a Paul? Not your spouse. Somebody outside of that, because you need somebody to speak life there too, right? So do you have somebody that's a Paul? That's able to do these things. Tell you things you don't want to hear. Be an example to you. Somebody you submit to. That's an authority over you. That even if you disagree, you say, you know what? You've been doing this a lot longer than me. I'm going to lean into you, right? So begin to ask yourself, do you have a Paul? And if you don't, begin to ask yourself or ask God to reveal who that may be in your life, right? Because we need that. So if you don't have one, go to God and say, God, I need this. I need somebody to walk with. I need a mentor. Lord, will you please bring them into my life? Will you please bring somebody who can begin to tell me hard truths, who can begin to speak into the broken places of my life, who can reveal things to me that I don't know or I don't see. So begin to, again, ask yourself, do you have a Paul? And if you don't, begin to ask God to reveal one to you.